Hey gang, let me tell you about Stitcher Smart Radio. With Stitcher's free mobile app, you can listen to your favorite radio programs and podcasts, including How Did I Get Here, anytime and anywhere you want. Stitcher's wide breadth of programming lets you choose from the latest in news, sports, talk, business, and entertainment from the media industry's premier content providers. It's time to get Stitcher. It's available for your mobile phone or pad. We're on it, so get it. Stitcher, the award-winning content provider for news, talk, and radio for your mobile phone. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Now, let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have yet another fantastic show for you today. Terrestrial radio and podcast cross streams today when my guest, Lori Gallardo from KUTX, the radio station here in Austin, 98.9. She's also the host of the Good Music Club, which you can find at thegoodmusicclub.com or at kutx.org. She's also brings you the Austin Music Minute every day on KUTX. She is the voice of KUTX, tons of the ads, and she's a very, very, very popular person in the music scene at a lot of gigs and at a lot of shows, and has been a friend of mine for many, many years. In 2004, our bands used to play at a place and do shows together. So we've been pals ever since then. And you can hear Lori on KUTX 98.9 in Austin, Monday through Thursday, 8 to 11 p.m. She's out there spinning new tunes, turning you on to music. Of course, they have a playlist, but they can also spin stuff and turn you on to it. So that's a cool thing about that radio station. We have a great conversation. Sit back and wait for that. Before we get to it, let me tell you what's going on with me. I had an eventful weekend. I played Friday in San Antonio at Sam's with Skyrocket. Huge show, great show, line around the block before we went on. And at the end of the show, I was packing up, and then I took a break to go pee before my drive home, and I ran back and went to go grab my computer stand and forgot that my computer was actually on it, so it went flying across the room and smashed the screen. Luckily for me, it worked because I wouldn't be home until like 2:30 in the morning, and then I had to be at a load-in at 9:30 in the morning to leave for Sonora the next day for 3.5 hour drive for an early sound check, early gig, then 3.5 hour drive back. Didn't have any time to get it fixed, but luckily for me, Steve Jobs created a computer, the MacBook Pro, in such a way that you can throw that shit across the room, smash the screen, and it still works the next day. Make your gig, and thank God it worked. So yeah, we played this gig out in the middle of nowhere in Sonora, Texas, the next day. It was weird, it was cold, it was outside. And then we, you know, rode back in the van. Great time, good weekend, had a great brunch. Me and Zuri went to brunch with some friends yesterday. It was a good time. And now we're back in reality. I want to tell you I'm doing a show next Tuesday at the Townsend. I'm playing a solo show. That's right. I have a special guest playing with me. I cannot announce it yet because his management has not yet called to confirm. Hopefully that will happen soon. I'm playing Tuesday at the Townsend, Tuesday, November 11th. My guests will start at 8, I will start at 9. Come on out, enjoy it, should be a great time, all right? So, without further ado, let's get to my conversation with one of the queens of the Austin music scene, the great and talented Lori Gallardo. Let's get down. Kyle and I would only play like on the chords we knew, so it's like.
And that's it. What can you do though? At least you had the instinct to do that.
Yeah.
I'd be sitting there going, oh shit, I'd be panicking.
Well, you know, and. You know, as an instinct, as a musician,
yeah,
it's a weird instinct. But I think as I've gotten older, my first instinct is what's the least obtrusive thing I can do? Which first is like to lay out.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
Good point. I think that applies to a lot.
Yeah, it does.
A lot that I do anyway.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, you know what? Know when to shut up.
Yeah.
People have such nice things to say, but I owe a lot of that to back up a little bit.
Yeah.
Back up.
Well, you're also playing stuff, you know.
I play stuff, and the thing I love telling our guests in Studio 1A, look, they want to hear you play. They don't want to hear me yapping. They can hear me yapping all day into the night.
Fly in here.
And there's well, he's one of my fans. Oh. Hi. Welcome. Welcome, Fly. All are welcome. But you'll also, well, I mean, not many people seem to, but I've cut back on how much I talk at night during my show. Like, I really don't.
I don't feel like I hear you talk much.
Mm-hmm. On purpose.
Yeah.
Because you've got the music minute. You've got, whether you like it or not, you've got underwriting all day.
Yeah.
And that part of that is me.
Well, dude, underwriting is so much better than, you know, hey, don't forget about Monster Truck Jam this weekend. You know what I mean?
Like, everyone loves that example. Sunday.
It's the only thing I could think of.
Well, right, that's what we grew up with.
Yeah.
And that is obnoxious. All the car sales. And back in the day, I actually did an ad for a local strip club in El Paso.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you remember the name of this strip club?
No, I don't remember which one it was. I know it was close by the radio station that I worked at. And I used to work in commercial radio. But what a lot of people didn't know, and again, what they still don't know to this day, is I'm a producer.
Yeah.
It's not just me, yay, talking in a microphone and then leaving.
Right.
I produce everything that I do.
Right.
So, interviews, music minutes, you name it. The only thing I don't produce is the Studio 1A performance, because we have Cliff Hargrove and Jake Perlman doing that, so.
Okay. Explain to our listeners what exactly a radio producer does.
Well, I always say anyone can be a beautiful voice. Anyone. Anyone can be a great voice. The thing to do is to learn the building blocks. Go behind the scenes. Every time students tour, especially young girls, especially young Latina girls, I tell them, don't be hooked on just, talking into the microphone.
Yeah.
Learn how to edit, which editing is a huge part. We do everything electronically now. Back in the day, it was on tape with a razor blade China marker.
Yeah.
But that is producing. That is putting something together to make it sound a certain way, to make it work, or to make it sound however you want. Crazy, fast-paced, slow, quiet. I've produced a couple of dramas, and it's just like stuff that I made on my own.
Also, a part of your producing is choosing who's going to be the music minute.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, thought goes into that, because a lot of times you're coordinating with the release or a big show.
All
or someone's
that.
Coming into town.
Mm-hmm.
It's Austin Music Minute is just Austin Music.
It's funny because, there are some bands that pointed out, wow, you really put the focus on local bands. And while I do that, I do include touring artists as well.
Yeah.
But it is all, it's all shows happening in Austin. They're all shows in Austin. Very rarely do I do anything outside of town because, the focus is here.
Right.
But it's a mix of everything. But you will notice it's a lot of local bands.
Yeah.
A lot.
It is.
I love it.
There's a lot of music. Do you... Doing 8 to 11 during the week, do you still get to go see music?
Johnny.
I mean, I see you at Music Stuff.
Yeah. All the time.
All the time.
And if I'm not at any other shows, I'm doing the Good Music Club.
Right.
But when I get out of work, if I'm lucky and I can leave after I'm done, which isn't always the case, I might be catching up on some stuff afterwards. The chances are good that I will not go to a show after. I'm too exhausted.
Sure.
And, I get everyone going, oh, it's 11 o'clock. That's early. You're used to staying up late. And as I get older, and I'm not shy about saying that at all, as I get older, I appreciate my alone time.
Oh, dude. I know.
Yeah. I know I'm preaching to the choir right now.
Yeah.
Got to have my peace and quiet. To me, a great party night.
Yeah.
Is making dinner, and here I am watching PBS, KLRU. Shout out to KLRU, because I love you so much. But yeah, that's Lori's party night. Or it's such a big thrill to go to I Love Video on airport yeah. Boulevard and see my friend Ian, who's in a great band called The Well. They're all like, they're totally rocking. I just love The Well. And I'll go see him and I go, hey, it's party night. And I go and I get some videos and take them home.
And just chill out. That's, and chill. You know, man, there's something to be said about that. I have a friend that I was talking to yesterday that was complaining because he went to a store to get something. He had been in a self-imposed like seclusion for like 48 hours. He hadn't left his home and hadn't talked to anyone.
Sounds great.
He was just talking about going into the store and somebody approaching him and just like how shocking it was to have an interaction with someone.
Oh my God.
But he's also, you know, approaching whatever age it is that we're approaching.
You know, the good age.
Tell me about the Good Music Club. Let's talk about that.
The Good Music Club. I am so proud of Richard Weimark, the founding father of the Good Music Club.
You're the producer of that as well.
I am a... Well, he's more on the producing end because obviously he has the skills in filming and editing.
Right.
And he gets the crew together. My end is the curating. I get the bands. I am constantly putting stuff out there online.
Yeah.
On all these social media avenues, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you name it.
And you guys, you have a Good Music Club Twitter and a Good Music Club.
We do.
Facebook page.
Yes, we do. You can find us on Facebook, The Good Music Club, the one, the only, the original. We are Good Music Club on Twitter and on Instagram as well, Good Music Club.
How do you choose your bands?
Oh, it's such a, I always say, it's such a great problem to have when we have so much talent to choose from.
Yeah.
So really, it sort of is me sitting back or standing back and going, how are you going to organize this into a great show? And now we try to emphasize mixing the show up. There was a time where I'm like, well, there are certain themes, and that's fine. We could have a country night on one night. We can have, you know, some metal on this night. We can have punk on this night.
Right.
But I love the fact that it was Riders Against the Storm that put this into my head. They're like, well, we don't mind being a part of a hip-hop night, but we love to mix it up.
Yeah.
And I really think that's important. Yeah. I think the reason why we were kind of grouping certain bands together for just a little bit is because we thought things like hip-hop and Latino music were very, very underrepresented. Still are. So we're trying to push a lot of that forward as well.
What was the show on Friday afternoons that came on after Eclecticos? The Latin show.
Oh,
does that still happen?
Horizontes. Yeah, that's Horizontes. On Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Michael Crockett. Yeah.
I'm missing it somehow.
Don't miss it. Sunday evening. Evenings.
Okay. So it's not during the day.
It's at night, so it can, you know, be extra spicy. Yeah. Michael's gonna go, what are you babbling about?
Let me ask you this about KUTX versus like a commercial station. Do you guys do testing?
Testing.
You know, like the focus groups.
Well, we do community research. I'm not so sure about testing. You know, like when you say testing.
No, I just love public radio. It always has like the, there's like a different word for it. Focus groups, man. Yeah, where you have the little thing. You get a group of people. You go to a place that
does it. Yeah, I'm sure we've done that before. I'm just not really.
15 seconds of a song and you turn a dial left. You guys don't do that.
I'm pretty sure there's some. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we do. I just don't know. You know what?
That's
totally
funny because
then
part of that too, I mean, I know that they do it, like they bring back and they're like, I don't like this girl.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Big time.
73% people, you know.
Yeah.
So, but you guys don't, it's not like that's how you choose your playlists. Because I know a lot of big commercial stations, that's how they choose their playlists.
And look at how they're failing.
Yeah.
Here's our emphasis. Not only, are we actually trying to bring something, you know, worthwhile and entertaining? Our focus is the Austin music experience. We're not just going to go and get something that is tailor-made, top 40, whatever.
Right.
I'm so out of touch with that. So when people say a lot of these names of artists who are supposedly huge and they're doing arena shows, I'm like, I don't know who you are. Instead, we tend to go toward a lot of independent music, and we go to a lot of local artists, and we mix all of that up together. That's how we do it.
How and who is the like when you go in, is mm-hmm. there is are they like, hey man, suggested playlist, or your playlist is just whatever Lori wants to play?
It's pretty much that. The only thing we have is our regular rotation. But even
okay,
that's
okay,
even
that's what I'm trying to get to. Who chooses the rotation? And how much
we do. We
as
sit
a group.
Down. We
you
sit
guys have
down.
A meeting every
they have
week.
They have music meetings.
Okay.
The music director, Jeff McCord,
right.
has a music meeting every week.
Okay.
And they are literally sitting around going, okay, well, we need to listen to these. And he gives different albums to different people to listen to. And he, you know, they're also like, you know, our program director, Matt Riley, is always saying, well, what do you think of this?
Right.
Lori, what do you think of this? You know, he wants to know. I brought stuff to the table, plenty of stuff. You know who our artist of the month is? Moving Panoramas. Perfect example.
Yeah.
And their music is in our rotation.
Wow.
David Ramirez, you know, in rotation.
And then something like a...
Sweet
like,
Spirit, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, you know what? I'm glad you brought them up. I need to email them. In June, we booked a podcast interview for, like, next Wednesday, but I need to write them and be like, do you still remember that we talked about doing this?
I just saw one of the guys from Sweet Spirit right now, and yeah, it'd be a good idea to be like, hey, by the way, we've got this coming up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I'm sure they remember.
Yeah.
I'm sure they do. I love them so much. But that is how our music selection goes. You get music put into your show ahead of time, but it's, again, it's so mixed up. It's just part of the rotation. And the rotation is so badass.
Oh,
we
yeah.
We have stuff that kicks ass. I'm like, I love playing this guy. Oh, look at Destroyer
yeah.
over here. Woo.
So basically, you say
the
that,
OCs.
That this radio station then is run on the producer and DJ's music director, program director,
mm-hmm.
The instinct of that collective.
Abso-freaking-lutely.
That's awesome.
It's awesome, and I think that's why we can say it is the Austin music experience. We're not making stuff up. We're not blowing smoke. This is how it is, and we're bringing that to people who are madly in love with it. And they spread the word, and apparently we have fans across the country and worldwide. That's pretty exciting.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very unique playlist. And
thank you.
Yeah. And then each DJ, just like back in the old days, you can count on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know there's people that mm-hmm. listen to you when, oh, Lori's on. I bet she's going to yeah. play something cool.
And I think, you know? Because of the way we work and the way that we work together, there's that consistency, which, believe it or not, you know, everyone loves to talk about, oh, back in the day when DJs could play whatever they wanted. Okay.
That's what you have.
We do have that, but there
are also...
And
you don't have to play like the opening of a waterbed store.
And we don't have to play
you know what I mean?
That freaking thing. I would run screaming. I did my time in commercial radio, and I'm not going back. I could never go back. They treat women horribly. They really do.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, but, you know, in a public radio
yeah.
place, that's a place where feminism is like the flagship person is Terry Gross, for crying out loud.
Well, and now there's more there's
a lot
there's
more
an emphasis.
But that's your, you know,
oh, like back in the day. Yeah, you
yeah.
know, people have grown up with Terry Gross, for heaven's sake. And
do
now
you like her? Have you ever met her?
I've never met her, but she's
how can you
apparently she's very giggly and shy. She
yeah.
can be. Yeah, but I you know what I was going to say now.
Sorry.
No, that's quite all right. I'm very happy to say that now we're pushing a lot more diversity. Like when you hear all of these NPR programs or you know, American public media, they're trying to diversify, you know, and have people of color, have people with different ethnicities. It's so important now. It's
yeah,
very
because,
important. Again,
because we're everywhere, baby.
We're all over, baby. Come on now. You gotta just go with it. There's nothing wrong. People are people, for heaven's sake. And diversity is so important. It brings so many different points of view and so many different human experiences.
How do you How do you view the change of the music business and how music is sold and that stuff?
It's been.
And how? What is like your relationship with labels now? Are they even more desperate? Or, like in the 90s?
It really depends on who you're dealing with. We have.
I mean, I'm sure the major labels deal with you guys constantly, because there's.
I would say for the most part. You know, say, for example, when we're booking performances in Studio 1A, I know that Peter Babb, who does the booking, deals with that every single day. It just, you know, it depends on who the artist is. Sometimes you find a lot of great people to work with, and you're like, I can't believe I'm meeting you. This is great. I love working with so-and-so from this label or whatever, whatever representation. Yeah. And then there are some that are still, I don't know. Sometimes you think, you just don't get it. Or, I'm lucky. I'm very fortunate.
You are very lucky.
I've dealt with people that are just phenomenal.
And you get to choose who you deal with.
I do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Many times you will be in a situation where if you do have to arrange something and it's like, you know, it's something for the station, you may not always get to choose. For the most part, I do. I do. And again, there's the emphasis on the local bands. You know, that's where my expertise is.
Yeah, I know you do that, the Sunday thing at Uncle Billy's with Christina.
That is a joint project. Yeah. And Christina says, look, guys, give me
a... fantastic woman in the business.
And she's always saying, give me a list, you know, what are you guys thinking of? Let me know who you have in... you know, who you've been playing on the air, you've been interested in. And it's this combination, you know, we put it together and that's how we come up with the shows at Uncle Billy's, which are so much fun. Those are always a great time. And God, the people at Uncle Billy's love us.
That's good.
I think it's great. Yeah. it's awesome.
How much, like, here's the thing I would like you to answer, and this helps young musicians out there maybe listening to this podcast. I get approached by people.
Yeah.
Obviously, I get emails. Hey, you know.
Yeah, all the time.
And there's an honest way to talk about this without being insulting to people.
Sure.
There's a certain way that I get approached. Take, for instance, I get emails from people a couple of months that come at about 3 or 4 a.m. Usually on Facebook.
Yeah.
A message on Facebook.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, man.
That's,
yeah. You haven't had me on your show. And I always want to write them and say, you know, this is the total wrong approach.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I either ignore them or go like, hey, man, I'm real busy right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know who's interesting? Me. Should have me on your show. And I'm not going to lie. I've done it a couple of times. I've answered those a couple of times. Sure,
yes.
You're so interesting. Come on in.
Yeah.
And they're lame.
Yeah.
And so there's a way I like to be approached. Like when someone just explains who they are, they don't have to listen to my show. I don't care. And send me some music so I can see if you're good.
Yes.
That's all.
There is more respectful.
You have to get, because I get them sometimes that, hey, how come you never have people mm-hmm. like us mm-hmm. because you're so with your little club of bros? And you're like, dude, I just don't know who you are. It's not like I've got a fucking vendetta against you.
Yeah, like I'm...
You must get those all the time.
Yeah, I am...
Why do you ignore me so much?
Hostile and ungrateful. I was lectured recently about how I had something against this guy's music and that I should just not even be on the air.
And this is the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you probably have something against that guy's music.
It's really a mystery. Here's the deal. I'd rather turn it around and say, okay, yes, I have gotten the messages on Facebook. And I'm sure you recall this.
Hey, what about
this.
Me, man?
I'm sure you recall this. I've kind of had a moment. You know, one friend of mine called it my Oprah moment, which is like the negative side. I always go on my Facebook, which is a private account, by the way. I'd rather not have a public
account.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I'm on the inside, bitches.
You're on the inside. And I always say, hi, kids, guess what?
Yeah.
Facebook messages don't cut it. Please remember, this is my email for KUTX.
Oh, right.
And here's my email for the Good Music Club.
Right.
Please use those. We'll have great conversation. You know, send me MP3s if you have them.
Yes.
Let me know when your next show's coming up. That's what I'm asking. And some people go, oh, Lori, you know what? Thanks for posting that. Here's my music. Thank you so much. And that goes off in a really good direction. But there are these people who, there was one individual, and I've since ceased giving him any attention, but he literally cornered me on Twitter, and I had to block him. It's that public humiliation thing. They think, yeah, well, yeah, if I embarrass her.
Well, that's the other thing, is like, if you thought I had something against you before.
Boy.
I didn't have anything against you before, but now I totally have something against you, man.
Now I have so much against you. And I actually took a photo. I had to block out the name, but I took a screen capture, and I said, this is the exact way you should not communicate with me. You know, like putting it out there. Oh, maybe if she's embarrassed enough. Yeah, that it's a form of bullying. And sadly, a lot more guys do that than women musicians, female musicians.
Yeah.
Very interesting character study.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the wrong way.
Totally.
Wrong. You know, use the emails and keep it basic.
Yeah.
You don't have to send me a novel. Just say, here's my music. Here's a link. If you want to download this, that's fine. We're playing this show, or we've got a new album coming out.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Keep
Here,
it
check
simple.
It out. Yeah.
Keep it simple. And I may not be able to get around to you immediately, but know that I am paying attention. I am out there with my feelers going, okay, I try to be as organized as humanly possible, but I also don't blame musicians who get a little bit frazzled because I am so disorganized. Ugh.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
I need to take care of that. I'm working on it.
Right. And the thing is that when people think that you have something against them or something, mm-hmm. it's like, it's not that you're not, it's, you don't, there's just other, you have a life, you have stuff, you also are a human being.
Yeah. Yeah, that
you know, with
yeah.
the family and stuff, like, people forget that kind of stuff.
Sometimes. That's the odd thing about being kind of a
public person,
public figure.
Yeah.
People tend to forget that. And for better or for worse, they might put you on some kind of pedestal. They forget that, you know, you have your own personal life as well.
Yeah.
They totally forget. And some people have apologized to me. They go, you know, I wasn't even thinking. I was just so eager to get my stuff to you.
Yeah. You know, the other night I went to that Mike Flanagan show.
Yeah.
And
tell me about it.
I could tell it was like the very end. And so like right before they did the last thing,
yeah.
we were going out and we walked out and Langer was standing in the entryway. I was like, hey, what's going on? He's like, nothing. Look, there's Clem Burke. And I was like, shit, I'm going to go talk to Clem Burke. Maybe he'll come on my show. So I run up to Clem Burke and I'm like, he's like on his phone, obviously doing something. And I'm like, oh, man.
Oh.
And he just was like, and looked back down at his phone. And my first reaction when I walked away was like, fuck that dude. And then I was like, you know, he's a person. Maybe he's fighting with someone, or like he can't get an Uber. You know,
or he just wants to go.
Maybe just travel from New York and just play one song at this whole show. And then just like, dude, get me out of here. I want to go eat. Maybe he's hungry.
He was hungry, or he wanted to just go and relax.
Yeah.
He's been on his feet all damn day.
Yeah.
I try not to fangirl out. And now I remember
that's
that more
good,
than ever.
That's a good one. Who's come in that you've been like, oh God, how do I do this?
I've been really good about that, I can tell you. Because after getting a little taste of people not giving you your privacy and people not remembering that you have a private life, boy, I have so learned to rein that in. The one time I felt myself really stumbling was Patti Smith.
Oh, yeah.
And I was on my chair going, but she was having the time of her life. She was making people laugh. When she was in the studio, people were laughing. She was joking around. And I remember seeing her show that night, and she was still cracking jokes and catching us off guard and just saying things. And it was just such a delight, though, to see her relax. And I thought, yeah, I'm not gonna bother her. But She, you know, Jody Denberg's like, Lori, I saved a chair in the studio just for you and you didn't come in. I said, yeah, I had to work. I had a lot of work to do. Yeah. And that's not bullshit. I actually had a lot of work to finish up.
Yeah.
But, you know, what an honor that was. But, yeah, I did not let myself turn into fangirl. I said, no, she's had to deal with a lot. And she's probably dealt with a lot of fans kind of losing their minds, and that's not pleasant.
Yeah, her level of people losing their minds, it's just a lot. It's either you walk into a place and like my aunt and my grandma would never know who she was. She could hang out at HEB all day. They'd walk right by her three times. But like, I would shit in my pants if I had to see her. Like,
yeah.
I think she's so cool.
I have a great story.
Okay, go.
This is great. All due respect to Rebecca McEnroy, because she's going to be like, oh no, why did you do that? When Patty came in, she had on a hat, she was wearing glasses, and she had her hair in braids. I almost didn't recognize her.
Right.
So that is my, that's my little word in advance in defense of Rebecca. So what happened, Rebecca's fabulous. She hosts the events at Cactus Cafe.
Oh, great.
Just great conversations that people need to be having. So Rebecca was there. She was running around, and she was going to go up to Jody, and Patty was standing right there next to Jody, and they were talking. And all of a sudden, Rebecca felt that her earring popped out. She went, oh, no! Oh, no! I lost an earring! And Patty heard this, and she went, hold on! And so there's Patty and Rebecca on the floor, looking for this earring.
Yeah.
Oh, and then, don't worry, you're so sweet. Thank you for looking.
Yeah.
I'll find it later. And before Jody could say anything, before anybody could say anything, Rebecca looks at Jody and says, man, Studio 1A is packed. Who's playing today? And Patty loved it. She thought it was great.
That's hilarious.
And Rebecca's like, oops, you know, but in defense, I did not recognize her either. When she came in, I was like, where is she? Oh, she's right in front of me. I thought that was such a lovely story. And you know what? I have a feeling that people like Patty appreciate those moments.
Sure.
It's not that Rebecca was being, oh, who cares? No, it was a genuine question.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of slowly dawned, okay, I'm gonna go over here now.
Yeah. Oh, you are.
It was lovely.
You're Patty.
You're Patty. It was great.
I asked you some stuff about the, oh, that's what I was gonna say.
Mm.
Who are you listening to right now? Like, is it anyone? Austin, National, the world?
Oh, let's see. Oh my gosh, I'm always, and I think because of nerves, sometimes I blank.
Right.
But
you can think about it. Because, sure. You know, like I spend a lot of time, not today, but I've been doing a bunch of podcasts for the last month and trying to get real ahead.
Yeah.
And so I've been listening to, like, basically, like, the music of whoever I've got coming up or I've got a thing. You know what I mean?
Yes. I can tell you off the top of my head, like, I was really excited when everyone really got into Moving Panoramas at the station. They were just like, this is great. So I've been listening to them. I told you I'm a big fan of Sweet Spirit.
Yeah.
There's a band, I think they played last night, 100 Visions. And they, again, were on a bill that was for the OCs. And that's another band I'm really into. The OCs.
Yeah,
love them.
Yeah.
They're
from San Francisco?
They're from San Francisco. Okay. At least they're based. Yeah, they're based there. I'm a fan of Alabama Shakes.
Yeah.
Big time.
Me too. That's a great band.
Oh, she can sing.
You guys
sing.
Play them?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Let's see. I can just, oh, you know what I've really been finding so entertaining? Yola Tango, their latest thing where they not only covered other songs, but they kind of remixed their own, kind of given a different take.
Yeah.
Last night I played, they covered a Cure song, and it puts a smile on my face. I love it. I think it's great.
When you guys get how do you play music? It's from a computer. It's from a big database. Are they WAV files? Are they MP3s?
It's a database. I think it's a computer. We do that, you know, it's all digitalized. Not digitalized. I made up my own words. We do it digitally.
That was a Mexican way to say it.
Totally.
No, it was digitalized, man.
It was digitalized. Todos son digitalized. And it, boy, my parents hear this, I'm going to get my butt kicked. But
todos están digitalized.
There's a special place in hell just for us.
No, that's not it's, bad. I was sweet. Explaining to my girlfriend awesome. how
the invention of
Spanglish
words.
Spanglish works.
Yeah.
Is that you take a couple of, like, the verbs, like, you're right, H-E-B, man. Like, there's a couple words, the yeah. setups in yeah. Spanish, and then the place, or whatever.
Or whatever is else in is in English. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
yes. So.
Oh, Alabama. Back to, yeah. back to music.
Back to.
Back to the music.
But you were asking, is it, you know, on a computer? Yeah, right. we are digital now. I would like to see turntables because a lot of bands, as you know, are issuing a lot of their music out on vinyl.
Dude, I remember a couple of years ago when there was all the talk about, like, oh, the music industry is going down, CD sales, but vinyl is going up. Dude, mm-hmm. I read this thing. Vinyl was up 300% last year.
Is that possible?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's three times as much as it was.
That's dreamy.
Yeah.
I love it.
So yeah,
I want some turntables.
So there
back.
Aren't any turntables.
Not right now, but you never know. Jay Trachtenberg and I are on a mission to get some back.
It must be kind of cool because, like, well, I guess with you guys, I guess you would have had carts before, right?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, I even remember when I started, there were still some cart stuff. We had.
That was almost like a dance.
It was the dance of the carts.
People do
dance of the switching around.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Having the carts piled up that you just played, ones that have to go
mm-hmm.
up.
I remember that.
The waterbed store.
The waterbed
They don't
bed
have waterbed
store.
Stores anymore. But remember, I just remember I lived in Houston when, like, between, you know, fourth and ninth grade. And that was, like, the height of like, waterbed mm-hmm. stores. It was always, like, you know, 97 oh, yeah. Rocks, you know, live at the waterbed store. Ultimate waterbeds.
Because they were very sexy. That's what single people
did
got.
Did you ever have a waterbed?
We never had I never had a waterbed. My parents never had one. They were like, nah. And my mom would tell me, no, I'd probably get seasick.
Yeah.
But we would go to, like, you know, maybe my friend's parents' house. They would have a waterbed. And it was such a grown-up thing to me. Yeah. I was like, oh, man.
My mom had got a waterbed, like, that time. Like, at a waterbed store. In the 70s.
Was it sexy?
God, it was my mom, so I don't
know. I know, you're like, ew, I don't want to.
But she, I
my
remember,
apologies.
I remember my aunt and uncle got one a few years after her, and theirs wasn't like, like my mom's is like a total 70s waterbed. It was like rough seas.
Oh my God. How can you sleep in that?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
That's, yeah, because there were some that were just tidal waves. You couldn't yeah. sit in them.
Yeah.
We tried watching TV. At my friend's house, and we thought, you know, this is great, this is fancy, but no, we couldn't even, one person couldn't move on that damn bed, the whole thing would just go.
Yeah, I guess water beds have been replaced by Tempur-Pedic mattresses.
But that's no fun, it goes to the curves of your body.
Yeah.
Where's the fun in that?
I don't know.
It's boring. Well,
that is boring.
Some of my friends love the Tempur-Pedic, so I'm like, all right, fair enough.
They're very expensive.
Tell you yeah, that. Yeah, they really are.
Yeah.
Tempur-Pedic.
Tempur-Pedic. Are you still playing music at all? No?
Not at the moment. That's something I take seriously, because if I'm ever going to do that again, I need to really be able to dedicate time. Because right now I just don't have it.
No, you've got tons of shows.
Tons of shows. I've got tons of work. I'm really trying to work very hard at building up my voice acting career.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what I'm focusing on right now. But there have been, like, a couple of bands out there going, Lori, would you ever, you know, and I've done guest spots, I've done things, yeah. you know, Adi Anand, he's such a mover and a shaker, and he, I remember when they had the Ronnie James Dio tribute night at the Mohawk that one year. And
you did Dio?
Yeah.
What
and,
song?
Joe, we did Heaven and Hell when he did Black Sabbath.
Oh, yeah.
So Joe from Think No Think, he was in this band that we put together, and I guess people were surprised that I c- could sing. Yeah. I guess they weren't really, you know, I'm not always talking about that. It's not the thing that comes to mind.
Right.
We only had one song. We just did the one song. And there was this Dio tribute band on before us. And I was like, there's no way in hell I'm following. That guy is amazing. And I just didn't want anything to do. I almost walked out.
Yeah.
And Joe was like, don't leave. We went up there, we did our thing, and everybody liked it so much that at the end of the night, they asked us to go
do it again.
And do it again.
That's awesome, because you only knew one song, you had to get back up there.
Just the one, but it was fun. But I don't know if I'll ever, I enjoy singing, but as you know, Johnny, that we were just talking band stuff earlier, and
it's hard-ass
work. People think you're just, rock and roll, and you can do it whenever you want. No.
No. I mean, not when you get older. Yeah. That's why it's such a young man's game. Like, yeah. Me and Kathy Valentine have been trying to do this band, and we do it every once in a while. But, like, I mean, we both are like, come on, man, let's get in case. So then every time I'm like, all right, let's do it. We have time. The Blue Bonnets, something happens. Oh, they're going to go
such
tour with the Waterboards.
I'm such a fan of the Blue Bonnets. I love Kathy Valentine. She is so awesome.
I love her very much. Very much.
But, yeah. But then something comes up with that, or something comes up that you're doing.
And then they're like, so but you play every weekend with Skyrock. It's like, dude, that's how I make my living. Mm-hmm. So like, it's been hard for me to really sustain a real original band because I work when we should be playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You working know what I mean? Like, you want to be in a band that plays on Mondays?
But
I do. I mean, I do it and I find time. But then also as you get older, when I was a kid, I would work from 7:30 in the morning to, like, 3:30 or 4 in the afternoon at Whole Foods.
Yeah.
Go home, change, go rehearse until 11 at night.
Mm-hmm.
Go out, party until 2:30 or 3.
Yeah.
Go back to work. Yeah, and it's just like, man, eventually you get older, you're like...
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
It's like, no, no. I wish, but no. And
I'm not saying that it is harder as you get older because there are other things that come into your life. And
it's been very difficult for me. I've really had to do a lot of reassessing. And this whole thing, I went to the big confidential show at Holy Mountain recently, and the two surprise guests were Wild Child and Shaky Graves. And there are patterns now that I notice about myself. And number one, I may not be having a lot to drink the night before, but I still wake up as though I've been hit by a semi.
Yeah.
And this is me pulling back. Yeah. This is me going, I had wine at dinner. And then I wake up and, I can't do that anymore. And two, I started to feel my anxiety kicking in. And that's so odd to me. I'm still not used to that. Because there were plenty of people there that I knew, that I know, and I'm comfortable around them. It's not like I was working. I didn't have to go up on stage. I didn't have to do anything.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I said, I need to go home. And I couldn't even stay for Shaky's entire set.
Yeah.
I had to leave.
Because you were getting shaky.
Because I was getting shaky in the worst way.
That happens to me when my girlfriend Zuri and I first started going out.
Yeah.
After a few... Adventures. she was like, you realize that every time before we walk into a place, you turn to me and tell me how we're going to leave? Like,
yeah.
I've got, like, hey, listen, just got to fill you in on the escape plan.
Yeah.
That's how we're going to get out of here real fast.
Mm-hmm. And you know what?
I hate being like that, but
I'm the same way.
And it is. It's kind of anxiety, too.
It feels... To me, it feels yucky. I don't like the way it feels. I laugh at myself later, but I was just talking about this with my good music club crew, and I don't know. To me, as I've gotten older, it feels like it's gotten worse. And
it gets worse.
I am planning the escape.
It gets worse.
It's not because I don't want to be here. I was so elated to see everyone.
Right.
Kelsey from Wild Child, I mean, she's like, give me your phone.
Her.
I am giving you my number right now, and we're going to hang out before she leaves on tour. And I said, you're damn right we are. And I was so thrilled by that. I was thrilled to see James Taylor.
James Taylor,
the manager, owner, proprietor. of Holy Mountain.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that was the end of the Holy Mountain.
Yeah, this is like the last show is coming up very soon. Well, the last weekend, I should say.
Is this weekend.
Okay.
This one there for a long time, but it'll be close.
It'll be very close.
R.I.P.
And just people everywhere, and I was still, nope, I need to, how am I going to leave?
Yeah.
And I had my one last drink, and I said, that's it for me. Time to go.
Yeah.
And I did. And I'm getting crabby about other things. Parking, or lack thereof.
Well, I just Uber everywhere because luckily I live close enough that when I go downtown, usually if it's not surging, I go there and come back in an Uber for cheaper than parking.
Yeah.
Round trip.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Which, how is that not worth it?
I have a slightly better relationship now with cabs.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, because I know it's very frustrating. I'm not going to mention any one company in particular.
I've been left here. That's why I was
I've
so stoked
very
when Uber
upset.
Started. I just never went back.
Yeah, I got so upset. But because of circumstances with my car, I had to rely on cabs quite a bit. And it got a lot better. But, you know, I've been taking names down and going, look, there are some times when I'm going to be calling you directly. Well, that's what we do. And I'm all, well, I hope so, because I don't want to be left again like I had been before. It's lousy.
Hey, let me ask you this about Holy Mountain closing and a hole in the wall is going to go. Or it's going to move.
Saxon
Pub is going to move.
Saxon Pub is moving.
Oh, but Hole in the Wall is not moving?
I don't know.
I've kind of taken my... I got to be honest. It's all this, like, it's so... Everyone's so riled up, and there's nothing we can really do about this.
Not really.
This stuff. It's all changing. It's doing its thing.
Yeah.
My approach is more like, okay, well, what's next? You know? Like, how do we set up for the next thing and get ready for...
Yes.
For this new economy, for this new setup, for the way that, you know... Venue changes. I mean, look at all the places that have moved way down south and popularity of Strange Brew.
And the popularity of Strange Brew. Two things.
Yeah.
I can understand people's fear and frustration. You don't really know what to expect. You don't have the full story from new places moving in or, you know, new people coming in and buying places like Holy Mountain, like Red 7.
Yeah.
You aren't given the full story. You don't know any details. They don't have to tell you anything. They don't owe the public anything. They're doing business.
No, but we do know that what's happening is the rents are going up so
high,
and then
really
leases are also not long.
Obscene.
They're very short.
So it's a frightening time.
They're setting them up to fail.
Yeah.
Is basically what's happening.
Pretty much setting them up to fail. But a friend of mine, whom I really admire, Dave Pruitt.
Yeah.
Dave Pruitt is on the scene. He's out there, you know, just supporting music and being a badass.
I'm a huge fan of him.
Dave is wonderful, but many times he will put you back in your place. And the one thing that he said recently was, look, change is happening. We're going to have to deal with it. He goes, stop bitching. If you're going to be bitching about this, you better be bitching at a show and giving the band your money in tips or buying their music, any of the merch that they have there. Support the you can go bitching at your favorite music venue. He goes, otherwise, I don't want to hear you complaining about, oh, old Austin is going away. And he got so riled, but I don't blame him. I also share that viewpoint. If you're going to be complaining at a show. And make sure that you either get merch from the band or you're there tipping the bar staff or, you know, just something. You gotta put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah.
And I agree with Dave on that.
Me too. And things are changing and there's nothing we can really do. And the worst thing you can do is not be prepared for the change because then you will be bitching about it. So instead of like bitching, use that energy to figure out how you're going to get through.
How you can make it better.
Yeah.
What you can contribute.
Yeah.
Take that and go in your direction and say, you know what, this is how I'm going to start showing my support. And you'd be surprised. You can really put yourself out there and you're going to be like, wow, I had no idea. This is something I could do, that I could do so much, that I could lend my time like this.
Yeah.
It's true.
Do you ever, have you ever served on a panel of AM? Didn't you just do one? Or no, they did it at Studio 1A, AMF panel.
Oh, I've not done that. Panels are not my strong point. Someone asked, actually, I was asked to be a moderator.
I moderated one.
I don't do that very well.
I wonder if they'll ask me back. Alex told me to write "be nice" on my hand and look at it the whole time.
He goes, "Be nice." Maybe that's my issue.
Well,
I don't know.
There were some questions that people asked where I was just like, "You, you're not even in the ballpark, man. You gotta go home and look at the blueprint again, man, because you don't know how this works. You don't even know how this works."
Well, it's I wonder if that's my fear, that I won't be able to rein in and go, you know, maybe I should have said that differently. I haven't been on a panel yet, though. I know that I've been invited to various panels. I've been invited to sit in, but I haven't done that yet. I'm not sure if I love the discussion. I love having the discussion, my proactive side is a little different.
Yeah,
you know, than just being on a panel. But there's nothing wrong with them. We need to have it. Like I'm, like Jennifer Houlihan, my hero.
Yeah.
From Austin Music People, she is so good at not only getting the conversation started but keeping it going.
Yeah.
So I try to learn from her.
You know, I was talking to this dude, Freddie Kirch. Do you know
that
guy?
I believe so.
He's a good guy. And he's also, he runs the whatever union chapter is here. He's the president of it, the music union. And we were talking about how there's so many nonprofits in music here. And he was like, man, there's probably like fucking 8 of them.
Yeah.
And then the rest of them could band behind the other ones.
Easily.
And make them much stronger instead of why, like, because I was pointing it out. I was like, you know, I went to this thing. I went to this a fair thing that they had this summer at Emo's.
Oh, yeah.
All of them were there.
Good Music Club was there.
Right.
Richard and Garrett were there.
They were? Well, they're going through all this thing, and I was like, you know, and it's, you know, a town where it has all this stuff. And he was like, well, actually, I mean, it would be kind of cool if they took the ones like the Hams, the Sims, the, you know, Black Fret's really
Black
done
Fret
something else.
Is, like, they're wonderful, and the love is mutual. They're big fans of the Good Music Club.
Yeah.
And we worked with them recently, and we're going to keep on working with them.
I work with them a lot.
They're wonderful.
They have a phone to the hotline. What does that mean?
You
have a phone to the hotline?
They have a direct connection.
A direct connection? You have a direct connection.
Do I?
With me?
I don't have a back.
Yeah, man. We're not friends?
I didn't know what you were asking about.
We used to do a residency together.
Hell yeah,
we did. And we did. You had me on your show, a picture on my fridge from that day. 11 years ago.
11 years ago, yeah. Johnny.
In the old Studio 1A.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was so awesome. Yeah. That was awesome. They were like, Lori, how do you feel about hosting? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, it's people I like. That's not going to be a tough thing at all. That was fun. Yeah, you're right. 11 years ago.
11 years ago.
Oh, my word.
So as far as the voice acting goes, are you getting some work?
It's a little frustrating, and let me explain. If I can explain. Por favor, let me explain.
See, I would make a little mouse cartoon just so you could do that voice.
Just so I could collect. It has to be a mouse,
It'd be
too.
Called El Paso Mouse.
El Paso Mouse.
El Paso Mouse. Okay,
Orale.
So tell me.
Okay.
Explain.
You know, I say there's always room for improvement, but I think I'm kind of, right now I'm in a rock and a hard place in another rock. It just seems that my impression of people who are able to
do
this.
Yogi Berra died today.
Yeah, and that's it. A rock, a hard place, and a rock.
Yeah, that's great.
Isn't it great? But I use that all the time because.
I don't know if that's his. I thought you just made it up.
No, I did.
Like, that sounds
I did.
Like
no,
him.
I did. I totally, totally made that up. And I always
it's
use
like a
it
tribute to him.
As a tribute. Oh, Yogi, just for you. But I use that all the time to clearly express a lot of frustration.
Yeah.
A rock, and here's another rock. And then the hard place, boy, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
But I'm not. The thing is, I'm just frustrated. It just seems the impression I have is whenever there are, sort of connections out there going, hey, join our website, sign up for this and sign up for that. You have to invest a lot of money to get into these things. And I, you know, many times I just, you know, don't have the budget to be throwing out hundreds of dollars to belong on certain websites just to get myself
to hear
hired.
Your voice.
Well, just to get myself hired. And there's
you
a
have
way,
an agent though, right?
I do. Liz Atherton, and she's magnificent.
I do.
It is the Atherton Group, and she and her people are working really hard to get more voice work auditions. And this is like they're really pushing them. And the thing is though, it's very competitive because we compete with people across the country. So I get auditions through
because voice work now. You don't have to fly anyone anywhere.
Yeah, you can have an ISDN. You can do it in your own studio. So it's a really brilliant time. Another exciting thing, and we just revealed this recently.
Dude, that kind of sucks. Now, you're always competing with everyone in the world for everything.
But it's been like that for a while.
Okay.
I mean, you know, here's the deal. Not only do I have the added benefit of, you know, being at the radio station and the station being full aware of the fact that I use the studio to send in my auditions, because I can. They know that this is work I do outside of the station. But also recently, the Atherton Group had a new studio put into their office. Oh, so we can really start to, you know, not only for film, but just to really pick up the voice acting work.
And you're bilingual. That gives you a bit of a step up. Do you not do stuff in Spanish?
I don't, because I'm not fluent. Time to get some lessons.
You better get fluent.
Ooh, I gotta get fluent. But it's just it's been, you know, I've had some great gigs, but I really need to keep lighting the fire. I've been talking to people who are making a living and supporting themselves, but you have to hustle.
I have a friend in Houston that really
Dude.
He does a lot of work.
His name is Robert Mungle. Oh,
Rob Mungle.
I don't think I've
He's also a great stand-up comedian. That's how I know him. But,
yeah.
But
you need to hustle.
Last time I saw him, he's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You are constantly.
And he I guess he made some kind of connection.
Yeah, you have to.
With some kind of Japanese company.
Mm-hmm.
And he does like the.
That's a dream gig to me.
Yeah.
That's another dream gig is maybe getting a shot at an animated series. That would be a dream gig.
Yeah.
There was a gentleman that I exchanged emails with, and I, with all due respect, because he's a pro, he is out there, he is doing his thing, and he's very successful. But I disagreed with him when he told me, well, if you really want to have consistent voice work, you need to move to LA. And again, all due respect, but I'm not interested in living in LA.
No.
I really don't want to. Austin is in a very exciting position right now.
Yeah.
Look at the film industry that we have going on here. That alone.
The Leftovers.
I've auditioned for The Leftovers so many times.
You want to hear this? So many people have auditioned. So
really?
Many people.
I think it's so crazy.
No one can get anything. Darren auditioned.
Yeah.
Didn't get it.
Aw.
Trish got a call to be like some karaoke girl in a bar.
Singing
with the main guy.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I think no. She went and like sang it something and she got the part immediately.
Oh my God.
Of course. Like, she didn't care. She didn't give a shit. She doesn't want to be a, she didn't even know what The Leftovers is.
Maybe
and Darren's
that's
like
it.
Breaking his back. But then she luckily when we were leaving rehearsal, that's what Darren was going to do. He's teaching the guy, giving the guy voice lessons. Because they were like
God.
Oh, we need to get the guy some voice lessons. Trish was like, get my brother.
Oh my God. Yeah. First of all, I auditioned for that part that Trish did. The karaoke.
No, I just ruined everything.
No, you did not ruin everything.
Okay.
It, first of all, that was a fun audition, but it was so, she'll tell you, it was so last minute. It was so last minute. She probably went, okay, I didn't care and went and woo!
Yeah. And I don't, yeah, I mean, she's, I think she looks at acting like I do, not like as an opportunity. It's like, oh, dude, $1,000 for that? Sure, man. You know what? That's how I've always looked at it. Like,
I'm not that crazy about being in front of the camera.
No.
That's not my strong, although I've done film. I have 3 films now under my belt. Two Step being the one that's really been out there and getting a lot of attention, a lot of great reviews.
Really?
We premiered it in 2014, last year, during South By.
Two Step.
You must see it.
Oh, I saw some pictures of you on Facebook looking like you were in a movie. That's it?
Pretty frightening. my friend did a screen capture.
How do you find it? Like, where can
you
find it now? You
can find it on iTunes. There are more showings coming up. They just had some recently at the Violet Crown.
Do they have it on pay-per-view?
I'm not sure. I have to find out. But you please look it up. It's Two-Step.
Two-Step.
Very excellent film. Directed by Alex R. Johnson, producer Patrick Cassidy, who also manages a couple of bands, including Wild Child, that I love so much. So Patrick and Alex have been really getting the word out. And the lead actor, the main character, the protagonist, James Landry Hebert. Magnificent, a professional. It was such a joy to work with him, and he is scary.
How big is
your
part?
He is scary as hell.
Are you
in the film?
A big part.
I wouldn't say it was a big part, but he made it a point to remind me. He goes, okay, so it wasn't a big part, but it really built up to my character having to see you, because my character is this underworld type of person who makes the best fake IDs ever. And she can charge thousands of dollars so you can get the best. But you have to make an appointment to see her.
Yeah.
Otherwise, she won't be bothered. And you're damn lucky if you get to. And that's the impression I had to give. And just working with James doing that, and we were going back and forth, he would ask me questions like, what do you think about this? And you have to give it a backstory. You have to really go into it. And we were dreaming up all kinds of stuff. And
that sounds fun.
It was a lot of fun. It's very brief on screen. I mean, it's a speaking role, and I'm basically I'm a badass.
That's good.
And it was originally a role written for a guy, but they're like, no, we want Lori to do it. So that's why her name is Flaco instead of Flaca. They never changed it.
Oh, that's
cool. Great.
Yeah.
I'm just like, it's a great film, though. Be prepared. It's just intense.
It is?
It is very
good.
Intense.
I'm always looking for a new movie. Two-Step, available on iTunes. And look for it on your pay-per-view, which is what I'm going
to
do.
Look for it, and then be sure to keep an eye on the theaters, local theaters.
You can find the Good Music Club at KUTX.org.
No.
Yeah, you can.
Separate.
If you go in the programs. That's how I found it. But
it's
you tell me.
Separate.
Is it goodmusicclub.com?
It's the Good Music Club.
Okay, sorry.
It's okay. So to find the Good Music Club, it's thegoodmusicclub.com. And I would recommend going to our YouTube channel. The Good Music Club has a YouTube channel. With all of these incredible videos.
They're amazing videos. You guys do an incredible job.
Thank you.
You're fantastic. I use that word before Donald Trump was everywhere. And now every time I say someone is fantastic, I feel like just like him. I love her. She's fantastic.
Just say it in Spanish. It'll totally rhyme.
Ella es fantástica.
Fabulous.
Maybe I should use fabulous. My dad uses fabulous.
Fabulous. You know what? She's fabulous. Thank you.
My dad's super macho when he uses fabulous. Like, you're like, hey,
well,
how you doing?
It's a great word.
I'm fabulous.
Fabulous.
I'm fabulous. What do you think I'm doing? So go to thegoodmusicclub.com. Look it up on YouTube. Listen to Lori on KUTX. It's weeknights 8 to 10.
Weeknights 8 to 11.
8 to 11,
Monday through Thursday.
Monday through Thursday,
yes.
8 to 11.
Yes.
You can hear the music that Lori chooses to play for you. Always good. I heard Santa Gold for the very first time from you. And I've stayed a fan. There's other bands that I've heard from you too, but that's the main one that comes up to
mind. Awesome. I'm so glad.
Thank you so much for doing the show. Is there anything that you'd like to add? Say goodbye to the people.
Wow. I want to say thank you to the people because they have been so supportive. Just incredibly supportive, and I couldn't give enough shout outs in this show. I mean, we'd be here for another hour.
Yeah.
So thank you to all of the peoples. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. We all appreciate you and what you do.
Thank you.
So thank you, Lori.
Thank you.
All right. Lori Gallardo. My buddy from KUTX 98.9, the Good Music Club, the Austin Music Minute. Get out there, check her out. She's fantastic. You probably have heard her if you live in Austin. And you can stream that show if you live somewhere else. They play a lot of great music over there on KUTX. I'm glad that's a radio station. I'm glad Lori's a part of it. Glad she came by and sat down and talked. That was some music from Gina Chavez, her song Siete Day. She's, I know, a good friend of Lori's as well. So I thought I'd play a little music from Gina. All right. Hey, thank you guys so much for listening. Don't forget, when you're out there looking up KUTX.org or thegoodmusicclub.com or looking up the Austin music, you can like our Facebook page. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. You can favorite it on Stitcher. And hey, look, when you subscribe to it on iTunes, do not forget to leave a comment and rate it. No matter what your comment is, no matter what your rating is, that helps us with our overall rating on iTunes, which helps us secure advertising, keep this show free for you, the listener. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I want to thank my friend Lori Gallardo for coming by. You can hear her weeknights, Monday through Thursday, actually, 8 to 11 on KUTX 98.9. Check out the Good Music Club and the Austin Music Minute. Thanks to Lori for coming by. You guys, thank you for listening. Have a great week. Some more music from Gina Chavez. Let's get down. Aire acondicionado, donde has estado?